You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Good morning and welcome to the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're kicking off the programming today, all day Saturday. A lot of good shows you can find here. Thank you for finding us in whatever manner that you did. Could have been through the Fantasy Sports Radio app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio. Myself and George Kurtz will take you around the world of the NFL and fantasy football for the next 2 hours. So, George, first of all, brand spanking new laptop for you. Excited to do the show with you. No hitches whatsoever, correct?
You just had the kiss of death, man. Had some technical issues over the past week. That's why I wasn't on earlier this week on Black Book and Fantasy First. Look, it was weird, Mike, you know, not having a show a couple of nights. Like, oh, I got some free nights. It's like I didn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah, so now you got tons of pent-up energy that we can expend on these next 2 hours. So if you want to hit us up today, please do so on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. But we'll start by talking about the Thursday night game, Bills, Jets, and the one thing I'll say from the top, George, is that the Jets looked like a far superior team. They played like a far superior team on Thursday night.
Yeah, it was strange. I mean, the Bills sort of looked like, at least for the first 3.5 quarters, like a team that offensively that we expected them to be, right? As far as not much going on there. If you bottle up McCoy, not much else to do. You know, no one to throw the ball to for Tyrod Taylor. So, it's kind of strange when you think about it. Yeah, they get Kelvin Benjamin. It's like they almost like they thought he didn't play, of course, Thursday night. But it's almost like they thought, we just throw our equipment out on the field. We'll beat the Jets. No problem. Jets showed up, played a good game. And listen, they saved their season for now, right? They're still on the hunt. Still got a chance at not only a wild card spot, but the division title as well.
Yeah, I know a lot of sports books had the Jets at 3.5 for an over-under total. I can tell you that I'm in it. Yeah, exactly. They already cleared it. We're only basically halfway through their games. I'm in a competition with some friends where we draft teams for over-unders. The number one pick off the board was the Jets under 4.5. We used a sort of a different line, but that's why I said some sports books had it at 3.5. But still, with 7 games to go, that doesn't look likely to stay under the 4.5, as the Jets are now at 4-5. For those of you that didn't see the game and you're like, you know what? Tyrod Taylor played okay. It's all garbage time. But for fantasy purposes, you end up looking pretty good, George. 285 and 2 scores. He picks up another 35 and a touchdown on the ground. So a really good night for Tyrod.
Listen, as someone who starts him, I believe in the Scott Fishbowl here, I'll take those points. I mean, you're you're 100% correct. There's all garbage. What was it called? 34-7? The game was over. He gets a couple of late touchdowns. He had 3. One was called back. It's like, fantastic, man. So, cha-ching. I'll take those points. I don't care when. Listen, we're fantasy owners. We don't care when the points come, as long as we get our points.
But to suggest that, looking at the stats, that he had a 109 quarterback rating and he goes 29 of 40. All the stats look really good, and I'm telling you, he was under siege all night, and it was all garbage time, but that's all that matters. We'll talk about Matt Forte when we came back, a resurgence of Matt Forte and a couple of touchdowns. We're the Roto Experts for the next 2 hours on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Join us after the break.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts, Mike Bluta, George Kurtz, here till 9 a.m. Eastern. So first things first, if you want to get in touch with us, please do so via Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Bluta. George is at George Kurtz. And you can also give us a call if you want today. We'll be taking calls a little bit later in the hour at 844-843-6879. That's 84-FNTSY. So there's a lot to cover. We'll continue going through a little bit of the Jets Bills from the other night, and then we'll talk about the obviously big news with the Deshaun Watson injury, Pierre Garçon injury. I got crushed with that one. We'll get into all of that in a few minutes and update you on the rest of the injuries as well. I will say, George, that I was – look, the Jets running back situation, I've almost completely avoided. There was a bye week situation where I had to, like, throw Elijah McGuire in one time, and he failed me miserably, and he got released after that because he's obviously not really – seeing tons of carries that matter. He ended up picking up 13 carries the other night for 30 yards, but again, that was garbage time. The real story of their rushing attack was that Matt Forte once again appears to be the lead back there because he got 14 carries for 77 yards, two touchdowns, four catches for 19 yards. So he picks up just shy of 100 yards, but the 18 touches and two touchdowns gets it done. In fact, somebody played Forte against me, and I was sort of perplexed as to why that guy did it, but he picked up 24 fantasy points.
Well, he did because, you know, the squeaky wheel got the grease, right? I mean, yeah. Forte was bitching. We didn't run the ball enough in the rain. He's right, by the way. They didn't run the ball enough in that rainstorm last Sunday. But, squeaky wheel got the grease, and he got a couple of touchdowns. I actually thought about starting him in a league. I didn't have him. He was on the waiver wire. So I did think about picking him up for that reason. You know, we believe that sometimes. Squeaky wheel does get the grease. Big game for him against the Buffalo Bills. I still think Powell's the better back, but Forte is going to be the guy you want in fantasy.
Yeah, but I mean, Powell being the better back, like at this stage, maybe because Forte is aging, obviously, or he's one of the oldest backs in the NFL, but what, like, has Powell, do you really think he's earned his opportunities?
They haven't given him any opportunities. And he was pretty much MIA the first couple of weeks of the season, then played the Jacksonville game where he went bonkers. Yeah. Yeah. And then got banged up a little bit, so he's sort of back where he was in the first couple of games, where it's Forte, and he has to earn his spots there. Or maybe he's going to get a few more, but it's still Forte. If I had to choose, it's Forte over Powell right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, if you have them both, that's one way to go, but it's not really a handcuff situation because, I mean, Powell did have a big play the other night, right? But you can't rely on that. When you're only seeing 9 carries, that makes it kind of difficult for us to sign off on him. And the irony is that we expected Powell to be the better back coming out of the backfield for receptions, and he doesn't even get a target the other night. So, anyway, Forte with a big night. Josh McCown, 14 of 20 for 140 and a score. Played pretty well, threw a couple of balls that should have been picked, but overall, the Jets were out in front. They were running the ball tremendously well, 41 carries for 194 yards total for the Jets, and McCown wasn't asked to do a lot. So for those of you that have been throwing him out there in your two QB leagues, slightly disappointing, but he actually played pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it perfectly. He did throw a couple of balls that should have been picked, especially that one. Oh, I think it was on the second drive. I don't know how that defender dropped the ball.
Yeah, you have to pick that off.
But then again, once again, if cornerbacks could catch, they'd be wide receivers.
Yes, right. So on the Bills side, receiving the ball, like you said, Deontay Thompson, he goes 7 for 81 and a touchdown. That was all garbage time. Deontay Thompson should not really be on your fantasy radar, in my estimation. Jordan Matthews sees 8 targets. Kelvin Benjamin's on the team now, and he'll be playing next week. Zay Jones got a little bit banged up. I have not gotten an update on where he stands because he had to come out of the game the other night. But ultimately, this is going to be Jordan Matthews and Kelvin Benjamin and Charles Clay when he's healthy. Nick O'Leary is filling in nicely, but he's only seeing, he only saw 5 targets the other night, 4 catches for 51 yards and a fumble lost, which was a really quirky play. He thought he had been touched, stood up. And as soon as he stood up, the Jets jumped all over him and stripped the ball. It was a fluky play. I guess you have to be more self-aware, but I sort of felt for him in that moment with O'Leary because I think he had to have assumed he'd been touched. Guys flew over him, and he was on the ground. He had to assume he was touched.
Well, yes and no. He started running again.
So, well, he stood up, and when they ran towards him, he started running. Yeah, he should have just taken a knee.
Could have stayed down, could have given yourself up, got to secure the ball. I get what you're saying, and it's a tough break there in some ways, but I got to secure the ball there.
I agree.
Was a strange play. Hey, it didn't go his way. It was the right goal. He wasn't touched, and he did fumble.
But this is really, ultimately, this is Kelvin Benjamin, Jordan Matthews, and Charles Clay when he's healthy with McCoy getting the ball out of the backfield, correct? That's all we're looking at.
I don't know how big a fantasy difference Benjamin's going to make. This is not a running back. Get the ball, hit the hole. He's got to know the routes, all the routes at that. He's got to be in have chemistry with Tyrod Taylor. This is not baseball. We just trade with somebody. He gets it there and bats. Yeah. And football is so – this is why we generally don't see a lot of trades in season with football for this reason. It's not that easy just to know a new system in a week. You know, there was no chance he was going to do much on Thursday, even if he did play. Maybe he'd have a route or two that they were designed for, but really no chance here. I don't know how much more is going to change, Mike, in 10 days.
I don't like the move at all for Benjamin owners. I, in general, George, I avoid wide receivers that change teams during the offseason. There's not a very good history of wide receivers changing teams and then putting up big numbers at the new teams. There are examples. Brandon Marshall is a guy that moved teams. I say this all the time. Brandon Marshall is a guy that moved teams several times and was able to produce. But, you know,
they're always out. It's and that's also a key here. Brandon Marshall was an elite talent. Benjamin's not. Really hasn't done anything in a couple of years here. Wasn't this a strange trade, though? And Carolina's in the thick of things here, and they trade away. I wouldn't say arguably. What is their best receiver? I don't think he's great, but he is their best receiver. It's not like they're deep at the position. So I thought this was very strange for Carolina.
Right. So let's expand upon that. How does it help? We don't love it for Benjamin, although he will see the requisite number of targets to make him a value in Buffalo. But you were probably... Kelvin Benjamin was a guy we often had questions about. Do I start him? Do I sit him? Because he wasn't consistently producing in Carolina. I do think it's not a good move for him, but he'll see enough targets. In Carolina, Russell Shepard and Curtis Samuel have been two names that have been bandied about and picked up on waiver wires. So who do you think this benefits the most? I personally think that this means a little bit more for McCaffrey.
I don't know how much more they can give McCaffrey. I mean, he's catching 7 to 10 balls a week, it seems like, out of that backfield. So I don't think there's going to be all that many more passes. I mean, you're probably right. There will be. Funchess is interesting now because now he becomes a de facto number one, which means he's going up against top cornerbacks, more defensive attention. Curtis Samuel, once again, is already a rookie, and rookies have, as far as the wide receiver position goes, sometimes take a little bit to truly figure it out. I mean, you as a Shepard, I'm probably going to have to agree with you. I guess it is McCaffrey, but like I said, I just don't know how much more they can give him as far as all these little dump-out passes he's getting. He's not doing anything on the ground. It's all these catches out of the backfield.
Yeah, and it does worry me. The point you bring up very often on this show is players that are moving into the number one spot. And we saw this with Randall Cobb struggling when he had to move into that number one spot. And now Devin Funchess, a guy who has not really produced in his career, George, is going to be the number one wide receiver in Carolina. Thus far this season, he's had basically two good fantasy games. He had a 7 for 70 and 2 touchdowns against New England. He followed that up with a 7 for 53 and a touchdown against Detroit. Outside of that, very pedestrian numbers. But that's been indicative of the Carolina passing game in general.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure Funchess is a great number two, you know, or even a good number two, more or less.
I agree.
Fantasy-wise, he's in that wide receiver three category and probably deeper in the wide receiver three at that. And without bye weeks, he may not even make that. So he's not someone who I'm going to rely on. Cam has been playing well anyway. I love the schedule. The fantasy schedule for Carolina is fantastic, but Cam hasn't been taking advantage of it. I think I read some crazy stat where does Cam Newton lead that team in rushing still?
Yeah, I believe he does.
That's just scary.
I'll look it up, but I'm pretty sure he does. I remember that being referenced as Jonathan Stewart hasn't been doing much at all. And McCaffrey, as you said, it's basically all been in the air. So I'm looking at the numbers right now. Rushing yards... No. So there you go. Jonathan Stewart passed him. It's Jonathan Stewart, but Cam Newton's
way to go, John.
329 for John Stewart, 255 for Cam, and 117 for Christian McCaffrey on the season. That's eight games. He's got 117 rushing yards, but he's got 378 in the air. He's got the most total yards from scrimmage of that group, so from anybody. So come back. We'll continue to talk about that. And yes, we will talk injuries. It's Deshaun Watson, Pierre Garçon, and a trade that I made that you guys are all going to laugh at. So it's Mike and George on the Roto Experts back after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Taking you around the world of the NFL, we are now going to talk about the depressing part of the program, and that is injuries. But first, let me tell you about those bye weeks. I always forget it. I'm always trying to do it in that second segment, and I keep forgetting. So let me do it at the top of the third segment, which is your bye weeks this week are the Bears, the Browns, the Chargers, the Vikings, the Patriots, and the Steelers. So if your running back core is Melvin Gordon and James White and Lat Murray and Tariq Cohen and Isaiah Crowell, you got problems. Can't help you out in this one show. You should have listened to earlier during the week, because you can't make five running back transactions in the course of a two-hour program. By the way, that 2QB league that we're in, George, I know this is a personal anecdote, is a mess. I just made a trade to help myself out for this week, because two of my quarterbacks are on a bye, and it's a 2QB league. And the trade was accepted last night, and it won't go through until Monday after the games are over. I just can't even handle that league. I don't know. There's some weird veto 48-hour window.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That happened to me, too, in a trade I made. The trade didn't happen. Yeah. I hate the leagues like that. I hate leagues like that. I mean, I hate them. There should never be a, especially in this. Well, this league's not a pure expert league. I think it's some non-experts, but it shouldn't matter. You should not have trade vetoes. It certainly, if a trade's made, it should count for that week. Yeah, you want to veto a trade
on Friday?
It's fine, right?
That doesn't go through until Monday. So anyway, the only way a trade should ever be vetoed is collusion. Right. The only reason I made the trade in part was to get Jay Cutler, just so I could not take a zero at quarterback, and now I'm going to take a zero and I'm going to have Jay Cutler on my team, which makes no sense. And I gave away Case Keenum to do it. So anyway,
guys like Tom Savage aren't out there. CJ Beathard.
No, I already picked. That's what we're going to talk about now, by the way. The Jackals came out with the Tom Savage scenario. And obviously the biggest news in the NFL this week is that Deshaun Watson is out for the season. He tears his ACL in practice on Thursday. Devastating. Absolutely the most explosive rookie we've seen in a few years, and he's the most explosive rookie at quarterback that I can remember since, I mean, obviously Luck and Griffin were tremendous really in their first year, but this guy came out gangbusters. Carson Wentz was not like this last year. Deshaun Watson was the AFC player of the month for the month of October, and rightfully so. And unfortunately, he's done. He'll be out, but although expected to be back July, August, he'll be out for the remainder of the year. And Tom Savage steps in now. To your point about people on the waiver wire, it brought up a discussion that I had on yesterday's Fantasy Football Frenzy show with Jake Seeley and Corey Parson. And Jake, like sort of a hard and fast rule that he likes to have in leagues, is that you run waivers every day. no first come, first serve, because a piece of news like that came out and I saw it, jumped to the waiver wires because I needed him in a league, and it was done. Like, he'd already been picked up in any of the leagues where he had any worth. Tom Savage.
I get Jake's point. I'm not even going to disagree, because I like that system in baseball. Love that system in baseball. Waivers run every night rather than just on Sundays. I always think it's silly. You know, if I don't know news on a Monday, why am I getting screwed by everybody else knowing it by Sunday? So I agree with that. I have no issues with, or at least no issues with that. Maybe you have to have it first come on Sundays. Maybe for your last waivers runs on Saturday night at 10 o'clock or midnight, whatever you want to run it. And then Sundays is first come, first serve, so you can settle your lineups. And, you know, not everyone's like us going to sit down, you know, watch all the games and do everything else. I'm going to go out. So you want to be able to set your lineups. But I do get that. Listen, the Watson thing was strange. What had happened on Wednesday, I think. You know, I'm not really paying attention to anything sports-wise, and think I'm in my den. I think I was writing a column, actually. And, you know, I have many devices for Twitter. On my phone, I have an iPod that plays music for me, and of course my laptop. And all of a sudden, they're all blowing up. All I'm hearing is all the noise. You know, do, 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 do. I'm like, what the? Yeah, I knew right away. You knew right away. I assumed it was Ezekiel Elliott. That something happened there, because that's when they've been blowing up before. And the first thing, this is a joke, right? He's out for the. This is a joke. You know, this can't be real. And I didn't even own him in any leagues, but devastating blow. And they, you know, even as an NFL fan, Mike, it's disappointing. He was playing so well. You know, going down into Seattle last week and lighting them up, that was a test, and he passed it with flying colors. Disappointing for, you know, obviously for Houston fans. They just can't have too many nice things. You win a World Series, you lose your franchise quarterback. Fantasy owners, it's tough, man. I don't know if I'm going to say it's going to cost you a league. It's certainly not going to help. DeAndre Hopkins, it now kills again. Will Fuller, who was only catching touchdowns. I mean, there's just a huge domino effect that's going to happen here.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that he made. The Astros won the World Series on Wednesday. It's the same day Deshaun Watson towards ACL. So the highs and lows, and they had their parade, I believe it was yesterday, in Houston. So here's the game logs from Tom Savage, having started four games in his career for the Texans. And the one guy I want to focus on is DeAndre Hopkins, because he's obviously been a huge asset this year for fantasy owners. Earlier this year, I just want to make sure I got it right. Yes, the first game of the year, DeAndre Hopkins was targeted 16 times. That was a combination of Deshaun Watson and Tom Savage. Previous game was last year, I believe, and DeAndre Hopkins was targeted 6 times in a game where Savage threw the ball 29 times. That was, yes, Christmas Eve last year. Prior game was the game before that, December 18, 2016, Tom Savage threw the ball 36 times, and DeAndre Hopkins saw 17 targets. And the prior one to that was late in this 2014, where Tom Savage threw the ball 19 times, and 13 of those were to DeAndre Hopkins. The problem is, none of these were efficient performances. 5 for 77, 8 for 87, 3 for 43, and 7 for 55 with a touch, but I can't remember exactly who threw the touchdown to him in that game. I can see it right here. That was from Deshaun Watson, so it doesn't even matter there. So, thoughts. I went through a lot there, but I wanted to give a sense of how heavily Hopkins gets targeted, regardless of who's in.
Well, you look at those numbers you brought up, that's 52 targets. So Savage is going to look for him. But he's nowhere near the talent that Watson was. Savage also can't move like Watson was. I mean, Savage got sacked, what, 10 times in the opener versus Jacksonville? So, you know, he's more of a statue back there. The defenders know where he's going to be. He's not going to get sacked 10 times every game. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying he's going to get hit.
They don't have Dwayne Brown anymore.
Right. He traded. That's another interesting deal, but I sort of get there. I mean, Houston's had a really interesting week. Jadeveon Clowney dressing up as a president make to mock Bob McNair, even though he says he didn't, is hilarious. And kudos for him. That's just fantastic. I mean, really, truly. I think the whole team should have done that. That would have been great. But that's just I'm going to say funny, because to me that's funny, but he was obviously trying to make a statement there, too. There's more power to him. Just fantastic. But anyway, Hopkins is going to be targeted. We know that. And listen, he likes Savage, right? He wants he sort of endorsed Savage to be the starter there. Some of the numbers you brought up are okay. We'll take it. That, I think it was 8 for 87. I thought it was 7 for 55. I'll take that right now if I own Hopkins. I'll take that's 12 points, 15 points. You're hoping for a touchdown. You get close to 20 points. The problem is that's asking a lot. I'm probably not too worried about this week. They're playing Indianapolis. Should be plenty of chances there. Indianapolis can't get after Savage like some of these other teams can. I expect Vontae Davis to be on DeAndre Hopkins. That'll slow him down somewhat, but I'm okay with him here. What are you going to do, Mike? You're not going to bench Hopkins. You might bench Fuller. Yeah. I can see that, but you're not going to bench Hopkins.
That's where I was going to go next. I think it concentrates the value of Hopkins and Lamar Miller, even if it brings it down some, even if it mitigates their value somewhat. I think the big impact is to the secondary and tertiary targets like Will Fuller. And I think, unfortunately, the explosive passing game that we saw in terms of Deshaun Watson being able to hit Fuller deep. I mean, he's got 7 touchdowns on 13 catches this year. Obviously, that's an unsustainable pace, even if Watson was in. But now I fear that Tom Savage doesn't have the ability to go downfield like that. And he certainly doesn't have the ability to avoid the rush the way Watson does to create some more improvisational big plays.
No, agreed. He doesn't have the arm talent of Watson. Really, very few people do. Watson has a gun, and he has the talent to avoid that rush and make plays. We've all seen, sometimes the biggest advantage of mobile quarterbacks is not that they can run the ball. That's actually dangerous. But the fact that they get out of trouble in the pocket, and once they're out of the pocket, that buys extra time. And then those receivers get open there. So that's going to be a loss, and I agree with you. I think it is the secondary receivers, the Will Fullers, who really, like I said, it was a big-time anomaly what he was doing. He wasn't going to keep catching all these touchdowns on so few opportunities. But Hopkins, you got to ride with him. You don't have a choice here. Savage, no, you're probably not starting him in anything other than a 2-quarterback league. I don't expect him to do much damage. This week, I'm not all that worried. I think it's business as usual here. It'll be in subsequent weeks against better quarterbacks that'll worry me more.
Agreed. So, I think you have a good matchup this week against the Colts with Hopkins and Miller, but you're going to have to wait and see on Will Fuller. You don't go out and cut him right now, but I think it's going to be something you're going to have to monitor. And if you didn't want to start him this week because you have some other similar options, I can understand it. But the irony here, George, is that very often when we're playing against bad teams, we say, if you're not going to play him this week, why don't you just cut him? It's ironic that Will Fuller comes up against the Colts this week, and it's a week there you really should be playing him.
Oh, yeah. You have to be disappointed. It'll depend on what else is on your roster. There are 6 teams on bye, so maybe you have to start him, but you're absolutely correct. Sitting Will Fuller this week hurts.
Okay, we'll come back. We will actually talk about some other injuries and find out what I'm going to do with my Pierre Garçon situation. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts. We'll be back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, talking injuries, unfortunately. We just went through the Deshaun Watson situation. And, I also don't know what's going to happen with tight ends there. Ryan Griffin, C.J. Fedorowicz is coming off of injury report or injured reserve by next week. So we'll see what happens there. First, I wanted to ask you a trivia question because I teased it a couple of breaks ago, and I want to make sure that we get it out. So you talked about rookie wide receivers earlier, George, and I wanted to give you a shot to see if you could guess which
lucky
2 rookie wide receivers are in the top 50 wideouts. There's only 2.
As far as what? Catchers? As far as
I'm sorry. Let's go yardage, full point
targets.
Full point PPR fantasy points on the year.
Oh God. Smith-Schuster, I don't see. Has he played enough? God, he had one big that big game. It cost me a week. Bastard. He would certainly have to be a consideration for me. I wouldn't go Ross. I'm not going Davis. No. I'm just going team by team here real quickly, looking at the guys here, see if anybody stands out. Right now, Smith-Schuster would have to be one of my guys. You know, Zay Jones,
right.
My God.
I'm going to tell you that's right. So Smith-Schuster is 26th right now.
Because of one big game, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. 32-point game, it'll get you there. But even without that 32-point game, no, he wouldn't be in there.
He wouldn't be in there. It is the one big game for him. I'm down in the I'm in the NFC now. Galladay, no, because he's been pretty much a bust. Chicago is just death. No, I don't think Matt Collins has done enough. Godwin of Tampa Bay.
Matt Collins. No. I'll give you the greater question. I'll give you some time to think over that. So there are 6 rookie wide receivers in the top 100. There's only 2 in the top 50. George's got one, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, I know the other.
Who is it?
Kupp.
Yeah, that's right. Cooper Kupp. Nicely done, George. So Cooper Kupp is 43rd in fantasy points, full point PPR fantasy points. So Juju Smith-Schuster is 26th with 92.6, and Cooper Kupp is 43rd with 72.6. Now, granted, this doesn't account for buys and all that other kind of stuff. So I just wanted to do a quick and dirty there question.
I should really just drop the mic now and go home. I got a trivia question,
yeah,
right? I'm done.
I know. It's been a while, so well done. Matt
Thanks
Collins.
For a little take, though, before you go.
Matt Collins is 100th with 30 points. Tywan Taylor from Tennessee, he comes in at 92nd. The next one is Zay Jones at 89, but I guess technically he didn't play the extra game because he's also had a bye. And he's hurt now, so we'll see. The only other ones that are in the top 100 are Matt Collins, Tywan Taylor, and Zay Jones are all outside of the top 88. Then you got Kupp and Schuster. The only other one in there, rookie wideout, is Trent Taylor from the San Francisco 49ers. He's actually 54th. Surprising to see that name there because he's in front of some other guys that are owned across the board, and he's not. So it's just something to consider. Now that we're going to talk about the Pierre Garçon injury, Trent Taylor is 54th. He's right behind Randall Cobb, in front of Tyrell Williams, Adam Humphries, Jeremy Maclin, even Jerron Brown, and his teammate Marquise Goodwin. So Pierre Garçon goes down. I had him on 3 of my 6 teams, George. So it is a big blow. Cut him everywhere. Trying to pick some guys up, trying to scramble. And I just want to get your thoughts first. I mean, easily the best receiver on the team. Now who steps up? Marquise Goodwin, Aldrick Robinson, Trent Taylor are all options here.
Yeah, I think rookie wide receivers in some ways are now becoming the new quarterback. And what I mean by that is that quarterbacks used to always have trouble where they could. They were never going to be good in their rookie season. Just too much to learn there too quickly. Now it's called wide receivers. Some seems like more and more quarterbacks are playing well in their rookie seasons. I still think it's more of a more won't than will with Deshaun Watson this year, Dak Prescott last year. We're seeing more and more of them play maybe because they're getting more of a chance here, so they're coached up quicker than they used to be. Rookie wide receivers, though, there's just so much that goes into it. You need to learn every route. Get the quarterback's trust. No, get the chemistry going there. Know when to be the hot receiver. You know, and all this other stuff that goes on there. It's tough. Plus, if you're a receiver on a certain team, you know, you think of Mike Williams in Los Angeles for the Chargers. You got to beat out Keenan Allen and Tyrell Williams and Hunter Henry before you even get on the target
list. And Travis Benjamin.
For the quarterback. And Travis, I wouldn't have said that except for the past couple of weeks. Even Benjamin's not getting a whole bunch of catches there. He's just making the most of when he does get the ball. So yeah. It can be tough. You know, so that's why I rarely draft a rookie wide receiver, Mike. Maybe a dartboard throw late. You know, but they're more pickups during the seasons for me.
100%. I very rarely am looking at rookie wideouts. The historic success is too low for me to jump on. And people will say, what about Odell Beckham? Yeah. There's a huge outlier. That one season, the rookie wide receivers really came to play. I guess it was 2014? The 2014 season? Yeah, this is Odell's fourth season. So 2014 season was when The rookie wide receivers exploded, and by the end of the year, you had seven, I believe it was, in the top 50 in full-point PPR leagues. But, you know, it was John Brown and Odell Beckham and a few other guys. But by and large, it's what I just went over. You know, a couple of these guys will make the top 50 by the end of the year. I would imagine Trent Taylor will actually make a push now. He's really not somebody that's been on the fantasy radar much, George. We haven't talked about him much at all, but now we have to look at targets for the Niners, and Pierre Garçon was well above anybody else at 67 targets. Marquise Goodwin's at 46 targets, but his efficiency is maddening. It's the problem in drafting a guy like Marquise Goodwin. He's got 46 targets, George, and 20 receptions.
Okay. I mean, I think about Goodwin I've got in the league, I believe, deeper league, I believe. So I'm certainly looking forward to good things there. I think you're right about when, you know, Garçon out of San Francisco is a mess now, right? I mean, we don't know when Garoppolo is going to start there. You know, we're all over the place. I think they have a bye. It could be after that. It could be week 12. It could be next season. They've said they don't have to start him this year. They do, of course. But
do you think he plays in a couple of weeks?
I think he has to. I mean, he can be a free agent at the end of the year. Yes, they can franchise him. Maybe that's the plan all along. No, this is not a six-game tryout. We can franchise him for next year. You know, get 16 more games out of him. For the price they paid, you would think that's probably what they're going to do at the very least. You get him for this year and next year to make a judgment on if he's your man. So I do think he plays this season. I think for fantasy, you need him to play this season. We mentioned Pierre Garçon gone out for the year with the neck injury. I mean, ever since Beathard took over, he's been doing nothing anyway, right? I mean, he's been very blah. You know, he was much better with Brian Hoyer. So it's still a loss, but it's not a huge one. It's not as big a loss as it was 3 weeks ago. The way he was throwing him the football. So you can look
Garçon
at
hasn't does, had, did not have a touchdown this year. His last three games, to your point, were 2 for 17. He was obviously knocked out of that game. The previous game against Dallas was 5 for 49, and the previous game was 5 for 55. So it was pretty pedestrian. His value was in PPR leagues, obviously. But now it's Marquise Goodwin, Trent Taylor, Aldrick Robinson. That is your depth chart with C.J. Beathard at quarterback right now.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly. I mean, that's pretty ugly. Certainly not something I'm going to bet on. I don't really want any of them.
Yeah, would you recommend picking anybody up or just go in a different direction?
I think I'm going in a different direction. If they had a better quarterback, maybe, because someone has guessed the ball. But I haven't impressed with Beathard at all. I mean, you look at his weird mechanics. The ball goes out of his hand strange. So I don't know what San Fran saw there, what Shanahan was seeing there instead of Hoyer. I understand Hoyer wasn't their quarterback of the future. Obviously not, so they dealt him. But, they released him, actually. But I don't see Beathard being that guy either. He is now until Garoppolo's ready. And I think they're doing the right thing with Garoppolo, too. You don't want to just throw him in there. But to say he may not play all season, I think that's silly.
Yeah, so they have Arizona, then the Giants, then a bye week. So I think week 12 and then week 12 it's against Seattle. But
I know.
Look, he is not a rookie. So in that sense, he should be able to come in there. You can't look at the opponent and say, well, we don't want to play him against the good teams. Like he's technically a veteran quarterback, and he's been in there. He's been under fire before. So, you know, unfortunately, like Joe Staley, their star offensive lineman, he's hurt right now. So this team.
He's week to week, though. He should be back by then.
Yeah, you're probably right. So the problem with this team is, like, I actually thought they did some good stuff during the offseason, and I thought they might surprise a couple of people, but they've surprised me and how absolutely terrible they've been. But that being said, they did lose a near record number of close games. They lost 5 games in a row by less than by 3 points or less. So, let's continue to go through the injury disasters. Watson and Garçon are the big news. We also have players like Marquise Lee. Looks like he's going to be back for this week. Jordan Reed is out again, George. A wide receiver, Jamison Crowder, Rob Kelly are questionable. Offensive lineman Trent Williams is doubtful in Washington. So Jordan Reed owners, guess what? He's out again. Cole Beasley.
SOL, buddy. SOL.
Yeah. Jay Cutler expected to play, obviously, this week, and Devontae Parker was a full go all week and expected to return to the lineup. Number one tight end in fantasy football this year is Zach Ertz. He was limited all week, but Doug Peterson said yesterday that he's going to play. Jameis Winston was sort of a question during the week. He's going to play as well. Did I miss anything? I think those are really the injury report isn't as chock full of bad news as it has been in recent weeks. Sterling Shepard is off the injury report, so you get him back. I think that's all the major ones.
Yeah, I'm sure there is, but we didn't get to. But injuries are always going to determine a fantasy football season. This year is no different than any other. There have been a lot of them, and then you throw in the trades earlier this week. There are actually trades in the NFL, which is fun to pay attention to. Listen, it is what it is.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about those trades, including my trade that got blown up this week. How would you like to trade for Pierre Garçon on Wednesday? That's what I did. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
So one thing I did want to discuss with you is the partnership we have going on this year with DKMS and Fantasy Draft. So what I'd like you to do is go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS or dailyroto.com/DKMS. You're going to find out a lot of information there about who DKMS is and their cause, which is a mission to fight blood cancer. As somebody whose family has been impacted by cancer in recent years, I can assure you this is a very worthy cause. So please go there. Our goal is to have people sign up and be bone marrow donors, so you can be in the bone marrow donor pool. You can make a donation, and certainly you can help us by spreading the word about the DKMS cause. And you can do it in a fun way, because when you go there, you're going to find a link to Fantasy Draft and a free DFS contest. And the winner of the free DFS contest each and every week, the first 16 weeks, gets put into the grand prize contest in week 17. So you effectively earn a ticket into week 17. So if you can win one of these weeks where it's, you know, there's been a lot of people competing, but it's not overwhelming. It's not like a DraftKings Millionaire Maker. We have about 1,000 people competing every week, and it's been growing, but our goal is to have it grow to be as big as possible. So if you win one of these weeks, you get to week 17, and you win the week 17 grand prize contest, George, you're going to get what?
You're going to get two tickets to the big game.
There you go. So two tickets to the big game in Minneapolis in February. So please do that. Go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS and you find out all the information and play the free DFS contest. And I know I've said this in the previous 8 weeks, George, but this is the week. I'm pretty sure I'm going to win it and get into that grand prize contest. So I'll say no more. I'm just, look, you guys should still try to compete and try to beat me, but pretty sure I'm going to get the ticket this week to get into the grand prize contest. Let's just say I'm not going to release my lineup or anything, just because I don't want anybody copying me, and then we're tied for the lead, and it'll get messy. But in any event,
you should release your lineup just so people know who not to take.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I won't belabor the point. So as I continue to make fun of myself, I will talk about a trade that I made this week, and hopefully we have time. Yeah, well, we got 2 minutes, but we can do it. So I had a trade in a league that I'm in. It's a very competitive league, full point PPR league, and all the teams are bunched together. and I want to try to make a run. I'm technically not in the playoffs now, but it's all, everybody's jumbled together. There's a bunch of 4-4 teams. I have more points than the first place team. I needed to make a move. I try to win this league. So I gave up Devontae Booker, Mark Ingram, Jarvis Landry, and Sterling Shepard. So I hurt my wide receiving depth, but I was getting back Le'Veon Bell and James Conner. He gave me the handcuff. Jalen Richard, so I had a little bit more depth at running back. And Pierre Garçon. So I traded away Landry and Shepard. This happened on Wednesday. Garçon, the reports were that, like, yeah, he came out with a neck injury, but he was going to be fine and play in week 9. And then the next day got put on IR. So in 24 hours, I lost Jarvis Landry and Sterling Shepard via trade and Pierre Garçon via injury.
Yeah, that's a little rough, Mike. I mean, I know you and I discussed this trade earlier in the week. And, at the end, I mean, you got the best player. Generally, we have a saying in fantasy. When you get the best player in the deal, generally you win the deal. Now, you and I believe it's the trade that you discussed where what your hard part was, if you made this deal, you were almost giving up this week because a lot of players are bummed by. Yes. And in your situation, it was tough because it wasn't like you're 8-1 or 7-1 where you could do that. So I get it, Mike. I think it was a 50-50 call here. Don't blame you for doing it. Unfortunately for you, the fantasy gods gotcha.
Yeah. And the guy I traded all those players to lost to Deshaun Watson on Thursday as well. So we literally ruined each other's seasons in one fell swoop. We'll come back after the break. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts.